I don't know if it feels like it's been 3 days or 3 months since Election Day, but it has been 3 weeks since Election Day 2022. And one of the more, of course, surprising outcomes from that day was the double-digit victory for Sharice Davids in the 3rd District of Kansas over Amanda Atkins. We have not had Amanda on the show since Election Day. Happy to have her on and join us here on KCMO Talk Radio. Amanda, good morning. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving weekend. And what's been on your mind here these last 3 weeks since the results didn't turn out your way?
Hi, Pete. Good morning. Well, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving also. I've been resting the last few weeks. I'm sure, as people would expect, those final months of the campaign, you're working 7 days a week at what feels like 24 hours a day. So I've been just taking some time off, but I also have been reflecting. So I'm happy to share with you some of my thoughts on the election cycle here in Kansas City and around the country. The first thing that I would just tell you is that, and we saw this and we felt it, there was a fairly significant shift in the political environment and in national sentiment in the months that led up to the election. And, you know, we started out the election cycle early on, the two of us on your show, talking a lot about the economy. The economy was consistently the top issue when polled in the country, and Joe Biden and his failure in terms of his policies. But underlying, you know, and it was a question that you and others asked throughout, there was a really significant shift that occurred related to the Supreme Court's Dobbs decision and abortion. And Pete, here's the thing, you know, I've obviously been involved in politics for a long time, and campaigns ultimately are rooted in hate as a motivator, or they're rooted in love. And when I say love, I'm talking about love of country or love of ideas. The Democrats obviously chose the former. I mean, in this district and in other places, suburban districts in particular in the country, they chose to run a campaign that was really rooted in and candidly dishonesty and hate more so. And they tapped into one thing I know about voters here in the 3rd Congressional District, and that is I know that people here do believe in limited government. And connected to that, there's also a natural distrust of government. So everything that surrounded all the change related to Roe versus Wade, it just tapped into a nerve that they were able to expand on. And as you and others know, they spent a considerable amount of money here in the 3rd Congressional District, really specifically to defeat me, even though I wasn't the incumbent.
You know, I agree with that assessment. I don't see any fault in that assessment. I wonder, you know, especially here in Kansas, because you had Roe over the summer get overturned, and that rolled right into this value them both vote that got national attention, that energized folks here in Kansas. And regardless of how it was interpreted and what it was really about versus what it was perceived to be about, that doesn't really matter anymore. It did motivate people on that issue. Do you think that made the 3rd District more unique from any other swing district in the country based on how big of a factor this issue was, abortion, in this November election?
Well, it was certainly a huge factor here. But it was a factor in other difficult targeted districts, especially suburban districts elsewhere in the country, too. The ads that were run against me here, specifically related to abortion, they were the same cookie cutter ads that were ran all over the country. I mean, it was really, I mean, I knew that because I knew a lot of the candidates running and would talk to them about their races. But even people who live here who traveled were shocked to see the same material in other places. And those ads were specifically and especially run against GOP women. It is unfortunate because separate just from my own race, putting that aside for a second, there were a lot of really great candidates who won the cycle and none of them won. I mean, very, very few made it across the line. I mean, I know that we talked about, you know, some of the Latina candidates, Myra Flores, you know, running for reelection, Kathy Garcia, April Becker, Esther Joy King. I mean, Lisa Scheller, none of them made it across the line. and the same ads were used. But one more thing that I wanted to say that I think could have been helpful, because part of the reflection, you have to look back and say, well, what is it that you think could have been done differently? I do wish, so this was a national election, and by the way, 2 years from now, because we'll be in the midst of a presidential race, it will be a national election too. I do wish that House leadership made a decision to release the Commitment to America plan a lot sooner. They released it, I think it was roughly in mid to late September. And by that point, there was so much, I'm just going to be candid, that was already baked in, because the hits were like very fast and very heavy immediately following the primary. We were running on a hopeful ideas agenda. And a lot of that, and as you know, I'm a very policy-driven candidate. I myself already had a lot of well-defined idea positions and solutions that were laid out for people. But that didn't come across as much as it should have. And I think that the minute that Supreme Court decision was linked, that nationally the GOP needed to make more of a shift to start to run more on the ideas agenda instead of just the anti-Joe Biden agenda. And I don't know that that would have changed everything in my race, but it certainly would have helped. So message matters. Another thing, like all the money that was spent, it was a real problem for me, but it definitely was nationally for the GOP too. Money from the left on the outside.
Amanda Atkins on KCMO, 3 weeks after Election Day. Do you think, based on the margin of victory for your opponent now, in a year that I know abortion was a driver, but this notion that, Donald Trump's out of the White House and maybe some of these third district swing voters or more moderate Republicans will go back to the Republican Party. Can a Republican win this district in the near future?
Well, I want to touch on what I think it takes. And I've mentioned money a couple times. Here's the thing. I know that most people don't want to talk about money in politics, but I'm here to tell you that money is the lifeblood of politics. In the 3rd Congressional District, there was more than, it's shocking, between $20-21 million in total that was spent just in my race. Within that, more than $14 million was spent on the left. I was roughly at 6, and that counted outside money. Now, important for people to know, I was one of the top fundraisers in the country, so I was not the issue. I raised between $3.5 and $4 million. Sharice had double that, but you can get outspent 2-1 and be successful. You can't be successful if you're outspent 3-1 or more. And there were, I would say on average on TV, I was outspent 3-1, and there were certain weeks where it was 5-1. So there's no way, Pete, most people are not, I would say your audience is a little bit more sophisticated. They're paying attention to the issues. Most people are just catching blips of information. So if you're getting outspent 5-1 on TV, your message is not getting across. And they spent $10 million in just attacks on me. So here's the thing. Winning in this district, the first thing is they're going to have the same amount of money here in the next 2 years, next 4 years. They just will, because it's a top targeted race and Sharice raises. Somebody's got to have roughly $10 million. And that is a really serious haul for a candidate. I mean, I know that I spend at least 3 days a week for over two years to get to my total. So money is going to be a very serious issue. And then the second part of it is, because we will have a presidential nominee, any candidate is going to have to figure out, how they're tied to that presidential nominee. And I really hope that whoever the nominee is has a good, meaningful and inspiring message for suburban voters, because those, you have to have those two things in order to have success. Strong national message that resonates in suburbia, and candidly, probably a solid $10 million.
Wow, that's a lot of coin. What about you, Amanda? Would you even consider doing this again or running for office again at this point?
Pete, I'm an entrepreneur. So here in the near term, I will reengage in some entrepreneurial business endeavors. I definitely plan to stay involved in policy and in politics. I will not be running again for the 3rd Congressional District. Down the road in the future, depending on what happens, I might consider something else. But for now, I think that this gal is headed back to business.
All right. There you heard. From Amanda Atkins, this gal is heading back to business. Amanda, thank you. We look forward to having you back on the show again and just talking about the issues at hand. I know the audience always enjoyed hearing from you. So thank you for being here. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Pete. You take care.
All right. That is Amanda Atkins. Good to have her on KCMO Talk Radio. First conversation since Election Day 3 weeks ago today.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast, wherever you listen.